me. Start reading, if you would, in verse 3. Verse 3 is one of those beautiful texts on what the subject of worship. Unfortunately, worship today means music, but in the Bible, worship is something different. Worship might include music, but it's not music. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision, and he's contrasting himself with those who are either Jewish people, circumcision, or people that have Judaized and thinking circumcision in some way saves you. Paul says, for we, believers, are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, meaning it is not about physical things of that nature. He goes on to say, and we rejoice or brag or boast in Christ Jesus. And, by the way, this is how you know you're saved. Where's your confidence lie? He says, we have no confidence in the flesh. By the way, that's just the first place. Everybody knows whether you're saved or lost, or you're trusting in yourself or you're trusting him. There's really no other option. Okay? So anybody that worships the true God through Jesus Christ has no confidence in himself. If I had to do it on my own, I would have no hope. Now, friends, this is one of the beautiful passages of the Bible. Paul is going to describe salvation, how the righteousness of Christ is put on our account and our sin is put on his account. And this is one of the great texts. Let's read verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more, humanly speaking. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He had all the check marks that you could have externally to say, I'm doing great here. He says, concerning zeal, well, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But now we come to the gospel. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. Yes, beyond any doubt. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but, and friend, there's no way of making that nice. Dung. If you've been around big animals, horses, cows, you know what it is. Look at me, friend. He's saying the best thing, humanly speaking, that I could offer God is repugnant. Not your worst, your best. And friend, this is what it means to be saved. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My friend, we stand here this morning, or you're seated so far. I'm going to have you stand in a minute. In this room, I trust most of us are saved. Here's how you know. What are you trusting in? Do you think when you stand before God, there is something in you that's good? Or do you realize the very best things you could offer God are of not only no value, they're repugnant to God? And is your whole soul's desire that the righteousness that is in Christ be put on your account and your sinfulness be put on his account? Because in being found in him, that's where we find hope. Now, I'm not going to preach on this morning. This is simply the gospel. But you can't understand the verses we're going to read without understanding this. Now let's stand, please. Pastor Kwok is up here today to protect me. He does have a Bible, but he doesn't have it with him. He's down there. Now, friends, I'm going to use him in a moment, but there is something that I have a responsibility to teach the Bible and then apply the Scripture. I have to teach something this morning because some of you have been in church your whole life and you don't grasp this passage. This morning, if you're listening, you will get it. Well, he then goes to verse 10. that I may know him. He says that's the only thing that's important. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In a nutshell, friend, after you get saved, this is what your life becomes about. To know him, to understand the power of his resurrection, to join in and share in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In one sense, we live the rest of life dying to ourselves and living to him. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I don't think he's just talking about going to heaven when he dies. I think he's talking about that resurrected life, that we now live a new life, a different life, totally transformed. Here's the message this morning, 12, 13, and 14. And the reason I had you stand, and the reason this handsome guy's here, is I'm going to explain some words. If I'd have had time and all of that stuff, I'd have put it up here on the board and you could have slept through it that way. I want to say this to you. There is a lot of words repeated in the next three verses. And they're repeated sometimes identically and sometimes not, but there's repetition because Paul is going after, all right, now that you're saved, so what? What are you supposed to be doing? And I'm going to present this, of course, for the new year. And I want to say this. I mean for every Christian's new year. I'll be very pointed with a question a little bit later. Very pointed. Because I do not understand people that say they're Christians. Do you really understand what Christ has done? All right, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Well, the question is attain what? What are you talking about? Either we're already perfect. And I think he's not being cute saying, well, nobody's perfect. He's saying here, there's something that I have not yet attained to. I think what he's saying in its totality is I have not yet attained or taken hold of some things yet. But he says in verse 12, but I follow after. That is the Greek word dioko. Look at me, friends. Wednesday night, announcement. No church tonight, announcement. Wednesday night, we're back. We're going to talk about this Greek word, dioko. It normally means young men persecute. But its primary meaning is to chase something. I am chasing something, and if you were to persecute somebody, you're chasing them until you could persecute them. So he is using language that's very strong. He says, but I follow after. Dioko, we'll have that word again in a minute. Then he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And you're like, what does it mean to apprehend somebody? Somebody tell me. Yeah, but we normally use it in a negative sense. A criminal was apprehended. But the actual word means this. You all listening? To take hold of something. We'll come back to that in a minute. He says, I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, that I may apprehend or take hold of that for which also I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. The apprehend, just don't use it negatively. Think the police apprehended a criminal. Well, if you use it positively, Christ has somehow grabbed a hold of you, and now you and I need to grab a hold of what Christ has grabbed a hold of us for. Why did he save us? He goes on to say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Same word again. But this one thing I do, and that's the confusing part. Here's the three commands or the three things that Paul is doing. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward. That is the same exact word that's found in verse 12, but I follow after. Dioko. I press toward. I am pursuing. I am chasing. I am running. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to speak on one thing I do. I'm going to try to explain verse 12 and 13 a little bit so we can get there. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Bless our time together, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you have a Bible, if you want to write this in your Bible, these are the things that help you understand, which is my point here at the beginning of the sermon. It's a beautiful sermon, but it's a little bit confusing. In verse 13, it says, "But this one thing I do." Everyone look at me. And then he tells us three things he does. But we're missing the point. There's actually only one thing Paul is doing. And it's found in those words, apprehend. Okay? So if you look with me in the text, you can write this information down. Chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained." That is the Greek word lambano. And to retain, this word attain means this. It's related to the other three words. Look here, friend. It simply means to take something. He says to this point in his life, he hasn't taken in his totality what God has for him. Then he says in a different way, either we're already perfect. That is the word lambano, which means to take something. You're going through the line and you take whatever you want. You go to a store and you take something to go pay for it. You're taking something. Pastor Kwok, you can stand with me. Now look at verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I am chasing. I am running that I may apprehend." Everyone look at me. Same Greek word with a stronger prefix. So it doesn't just mean to take. Look at me. It means what you do to your baby. You take hold of something with all that you have. So here's how you grasp this. I want to take hold of what Christ took hold of me for. Look at the text. Look at verse 12. He says, "If that I may apprehend," which means to take hold of, or grab hold of, "that for which I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus." So friend, it's not this. I'm saved. What time does church get over? I'm saved. Oh, no. I remember when the typhoon hit Tacloban, reading a story about a dad. And friend, when that typhoon hit, there was a wall of water. John, this guy right here, Just John, was there. Are you hearing me? You were there right after the typhoon, right, John? You saw things that you didn't show on the video, which I'm glad. Friend, I read a story of a man, poor guy, four or five kids, and that typhoon happened. Now, he didn't get the wave, but they got the winds and everything that came with it. And the guy did this. He took his children, put all of his children under him. And I mean, with everything he had, he took hold of this. Look at me. Christ has taken hold of you if you're a Christian. Now, Paul's one thing I do is to take hold of Christ and all that he has with all of your being. That's what is taught. So Paul admits, I haven't totally done this yet. This is something that's through a lifetime. But Christ Jesus apprehended me. And therefore, I'm going to take hold of him also. And all that he is and all that, by the way, this one thing I do. I will say this, too many Christians, nothing. No passion, no desires. Has Christ taken hold of you? Hey, let me ask you, did Jesus just give you a little get out of hell card and said, be about your business? Or did he reach into you the depths of your sin and lift you out of that sin and take hold of you? If he has taken hold of you, your one thing you do is trying to take hold of him and all that he has. That's the one thing I do. He uses the same word the third time. Brethren, I count not myself. Read it. I haven't totally taken hold of this yet. But this one thing I do. He's referring to the Christ that grabbed. By the way, do you think you save yourself? Answer the question. Do you think you help save yourself? Did the Lord Jesus Christ grab a hold of you and pull you out of your sin and stupidity? Then the one thing we do is then take hold of him. By the way, the story's sad because that hurricane, that typhoon blew all night in Tacloban. Look at me, parents. That dad laid on his children, holding on to children and his wife, and the next morning he was unconscious and at least half of his children were gone. How would you feel? I want to say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ laid hold is to lay hold on him now. That's what my life is about. This is called Christianity. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to look right into the text. So the question is, how do we accomplish this one thing? Since I have been apprehended or taken hold of by Christ, and I am now the one thing I do trying to take hold of him, how exactly do I do that? Look with me back at verse 13. And for all of you, I want you to see the movement. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In this lifetime, you never quite get there, but you're reaching forth. But then he goes on to say, but this is the thing that I do, this one thing I do. And then he tells us how he's doing it. Then he gives us three ways he's going to do this. He says, forgetting those things which are what? Everybody say it with me. Those things which are what? Look at me. Here's your life. I don't care what your life is. You have things behind you. Are all of those good? We have to do something with the things that are behind us. And then he talks using two prepositions back and forth. He goes on to say what? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? You see, friends, your life is pretty simple. There's the things that are in the past. There's the things that are in the present. Now, Paul does not use, in this text, things that are in the future, because a Christian thinks differently than a pagan. A pagan's always looking in the future, hoping that the lottery, they win the lottery, or all of that silly stuff. No, Paul uses a different analogy. So there's things behind me, there's things before me, look at me, and there's things that are upward. The high calling, the upward calling of Christ. It is future, but for a Christian, it's not just like this. Future here, it's... So we have the things behind us, we have the things before us, and we have the things above us. And these three is what we have to do to chase and to pursue grasping. Christ has apprehended me. He's taken hold on me. I am, with all that I do, attempting to take hold on him and all that he has for me. And I've got to do things that deal with the past. I've got to do things that deal with the present. And I have to look to that higher, upward, onward concept, future. All three. That's what the text says. Well, we begin in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not yet fully, totally taken hold of, kata lambano, to take, really take. I haven't yet taken hold of Christ and all that he has for me. But this is the one thing I do. And then he tells us how. Forgetting those things which are behind. So we begin with number one, forgetting. Friend, look at me please. If you prefer, how about this? Letting go. You understand that? Pastor Koak, you bring your Bible up here. Just set up here. Bring your water. I got to illustrate this. We used to have a dog. The dog went to heaven, dog heaven. Did you know there was a dog heaven? You say, where's that in the Bible? I just made it up. Amy wanted a dog. Sharon Vasilovich. You know, I love Sharon Vasilovich, but I still don't love her for the dog. We had a dog. When that dog was young, if you gave that dog a toy, you could take that dog. Go ahead and put your Bible down. Here, grab a hold. When he took hold of something, better do both hands. No joke, I could pick puddles. And after a while, we'd have to say, my wife would say it very kindly, dear puddles, please drop the toy. Me, I would not be as sweet. I'd say, drop it! What would he do? He always obeyed. Friend, please look at me. Look at me. But this one thing I do. What's it say? What's it say? Forgetting those things which are behind. There has to be this. Pastor Koch, pull. I got a question for you. Why are you holding on? Why are you holding on to the stuff in the past? Why do you spend a lifetime with all your pain? Thank you. You can hold the book. I might use you again. Friends, we all have a past. A past that can absolutely dominate everything. A past that hasn't been so good recently. We've had a past in the last couple years of hurts, pain, loss. And I want to say again, I just lots of loss. Last night I texted Haley. I was, you know, being nice and friendly and goofy. But friend, Haley lost her husband at age, I think Haley's 37, Amy, is that correct? Now friend, you lose your husband at age 37. Do you think there's any pain? Do you think there's any loss? Do you think there's, I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I think it's true that Julie and Scary Carrie, the other two of the four, went down there to do something special just for Haley. Why? Because I think her husband had planned, is it true, had planned on doing something special, and he's gone. I want you to look at me. You must come to the place, if you're ever going to come to take hold on Christ, like he has taken hold on you, and the very purpose that he took hold on you is so that you would take hold on him and all that he wants for you, there has to be a letting go or a forgetting the past with all of it, the pain, the hurts, the losses, the mistakes, the sins, the harsh words, the being wrong, the doing wrong, the speaking wrong. Somehow you have to let go. I'm going to tell two stories. Neither one of these stories are true. But both of these stories are the truth. You say, they're not about one person. I'm using dozens of people and put them into two stories. I would prefer if you actually listened. I knew him well, but I didn't care to be around him. If we were out eating ice cream, the only thing that he would think of and talk about was his bitterness, his anger, his hatred. Even eating ice cream, that bubbled up into the conversation. If you went to church with him, to a gathering, it would bubble up. The people that had done him wrong. Why hadn't God let him do this? Why hadn't God let him do that? He had been done wrong. And he had been mistreated, and his entire life and existence was all about, look at me, look up here, the past. Every conversation was the past. Everything that was talked about was the past. And Paul is saying, listen, there's only one thing I do, but here's how I do it. I let go. I forget. I move on. She was no better than him, maybe worse. She was bitter at everyone and everything. Did her bitterness start with her ex-husband? Did her bitterness start with her father? Did her bitterness start with her former, hear the language, churches? I only know this. She expected you to bitterness party and be angry and bitter with her. And if you did not join her bitterness party and be bitter and angry with her, then you were added to her bitterness list. And you became one of the another people that she was angry and bitter about. Pastor Koch, I have a question. This is the most pointed thing I'm going to ask. And look at me. I want you to ask yourself. Book. Grab a hold. I got a question. Pardon me. Answer. Why are you holding on to your bitterness? Do you think you're ever going to apprehend? You're ever going to take hold on Christ that took hold on you, holding on to hatred and grievances and pains? Why do you want other people to be part of your bitterness? You say, who are you speaking to? Everybody. In this room, who doesn't have a past? Anybody? Who hasn't been done wrong? Who hasn't been hurt? Who hasn't been lied to? Friend, I promised God yesterday that the area I'm going to work on the most this year is I've got to let go of the people that have directly lied to my face in the last 2 months. I got it. Look at me. Pull, Tim. I've got to let go. You say, why? It'll consume you. But that's not why. I'm not interested in your emotions. I'm interested in you grabbing a hold of Christ. And you're not going to lay hold on Christ. You know, it's this simple. As long as I'm holding on to this, it's hard to do what? As long as my soul and my mind is consumed with the people who I hate, it's pretty hard to love Christ. They're kind of mutually exclusive. Don't go anyplace. You can sit down. Can I ask you a question? Why are you holding on to this? On top of our sin, our mistakes, our stumbling, 2019 to 2023, I have concluded that most human beings are squirrels. I actually looked this up today in the dictionary, and the word squirrely is in the dictionary. For all of my Pinoy friends in Papua New Guinea, squirrely, it's a good word. Do you know how they define squirrely in the dictionary? Listen to, you tell me if it sounds like Americans. Squirrely is the tendency to the unusual activity, restlessness, moving erratically. Last week, I was driving, or the week before, I was driving down York House, and I actually experienced this for some reason more on York House than any other place. There's a couple spots. I'm driving down York House. It's a 70-mile-an-hour road. Is that correct? Driving down York House, and I see a dumb squirrel. And I already know a dumb squirrel is going to act like a... So they come out halfway, and they could have gone across the street four times. Comes out halfway, he must either hear me or feel me. Then he does what? Then he runs back. But that's not the problem. Then he runs back again. I'm slamming on my brakes. You say, do you ever hit them? I don't know why it bothers me. It's just a squirrel, but I don't want to hit one. And it's like, you dumb squirrel, quit acting like a squirrel. And then I find Americans do it. It's like, I want to say this. If you've been acting squirrely, it's time to get over that. Everybody in this room, by the way, I'm not talking about cheap grace. Part of letting go, part of forgiving, part of forgetting is forgiveness. You might just need, like all of us do, to come to the Lord. Confess some sins, confess that restlessness that the last couple years has just put in us so we can move forward. We all have to do it. Here are my thoughts on forgetting, letting go. This is a process. The word is a present tense participle. It means an ongoing activity of forgetting. It is, Pastor Koak, can you hold two? Here's our problem, friend. You say, Pastor Warren, I have let it go. Well, I finally let, here, pull it. Here's how we do business. All right, I've let it go. We're holding on to other stuff. Yes. This is a process, friend. Do you notice forgetting even in English is a gerund? It's a verbal activity. It's something that's ongoing. In Greek, it's the way it works, but it's that ongoing activity. It is a you don't ever really let everything go. You're always working on letting stuff go. It's how we focus on this one thing I do. I'm going to grasp Christ like he has grasped me. I'm going to lay hold on Christ like he has laid hold on me. We've got to let go. Forgetting is a process. You do it once and you do it again. It is an ongoing process. It is also something that only I can do. No one can let go of my hurt, my pain, my disappointments. I've got to do it. I've got to be the one that lets go of that so I can start moving forward, lest I just get stuck back here. 1981. The old man you're looking at left this church, and my wife. She was young then and still young. Look at me, friend. Look up here. The week before I left this church, four families left this church mad. The last time I have seen one of those four families, and I am being pointed, the last time was when my daughter graduated from Bob Jones with her master's degree, and one of those families met me. And I looked at my friend, I'm mentioning names, Al Rudy, pastors in Danville, Illinois, Faith Baptist Church. I looked at Al, we were talking, we were someplace, and here comes that lady. She walks up here, and I thought, I'm going to honor that person. Because her family helped found this church. And out of her filthy mouth came bitterness from 30 years before. Why are you holding on to your hatred of people? You're never going to do one thing I do. You're always going to be stuck back here. Let it go. Puddles, drop it. Puddles, let it go. Left undone, that will undo your life. Ask this. You can to your list of people you hate. How do I know this? I've known a bitter person here or there. And my friend, until you can let that go, you just keep adding to your list till everybody you have ever met's on your list. And if you're their friend and you cross them, you'll be on that list too. Let's look back at the text. Paul says there's a second thing. How he does this one thing. How does he go about Christ, who has already laid hold on him? But the reason Christ laid hold on us at salvation is so that we can lay hold on him. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have totally done this, laid hold on Christ, but this is the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So, forgetting, letting go of the things behind us. He goes on to say, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Simultaneously, Pastor Kowak, stand behind me, please. Just one book. One book will do it. Everybody look up here, please. Simultaneously with this. Look here. While I'm letting go, I'm also doing this. I am forgetting and reaching forth. I am forgetting, I am reaching forth. I am forgetting, I am reaching forth. I use the term reaching forth. I could also use this term, stretching out. This word is very strong. It has the idea of straining to reach something. Thank you, Tim. By the way, the same time I'm letting go, I'm this. Always. I'm letting go of this and I'm trying to grab that. I've never had this problem. There are people in my family that have this problem, whose names will remain unmentioned. If there's a cabinet in our kitchen that's high, some people in my family can't reach there. So it's always funny to watch a person that's somewhat shorter than me always. Hello? I never had the problem. I have the other problem. You say, what's my problem? Too tall for seats on an airplane, and I got too big of a belly. But when it comes to height, I can reach things. Friends, I'm going to tell you a story about reaching. Please hear me. This text tells us, how do I apprehend Christ? You don't do it because you're special. You do it because you learn over a period of time to let go. And while you're letting go, you're straining. You're straining after Christ. Your life is consumed. I'm going to tell you a story, an illustration. Every day of my life, if it's a good day, if I have a really, I don't know that there's ever a day in my life except when I was in the hospital that I did not read. If you want to know if I'm sick, I do not read. That's happened half a dozen times in the last 40 years. But I always do the same thing at old age. I gather together my stuff, a book. I get a yellow highlighter. I get a blue pen because I like to underline and write little notes in the book in blue. Stands out to my colorblind eyes. So I get my book, get my highlighter, get my pen. Sorry. I have to get my eyes, Mike. I put my eyes on. I take my blue pen. So I don't know if this is blue ink. I think it is. I put my blue. Are you ready? I put it right here. And see what it's already doing? Because I got my glasses on, it wants to do what? I go into my chair. The thing flips up. I get real comfortable. The technical word is ensconced. I am comfortable in that chair. Got my book, got my marker, got my pen, got my glasses. Have something to drink right beside me, water, tea, or something. Got it right there. Everything is good. And then I lean forward, and inevitably that dumb pen falls out of my ear. It's not a big deal. Most of the time it falls right in my lap. But there's every once in a while. I got to show it. Well, I got to use the glasses because you got to see the whole. You say, how do you know this? I'm trying to illustrate a word. It's the problem that some of us have. We want it, but we don't want it that bad. Okay, so here I am all sitting in my chair, comfy. Man, I am ready to read. Got my glasses on, got my stuff to drink, got my pen here. Keeps doing it. And I got my book, and I'm starting to read. Got my feet up. Man, I'm cruising. And eventually, and inevitably, that dumb pen, I think it's a demon in my house other than me. That dumb pen falls down and somehow falls underneath the gizmo that comes up. So then I'm trying, by the way, I'm flexible, but not flexible this way because there's a barrier. So here I am with my book and my marker and my glasses and my drink, and I'm trying to, folks, one day, no joke, Jenny doesn't know this, so she can't listen. The whole chair turned over on top of me. I was stretching to get that dumb pin. And I pulled the thing back, you know, the whatever it's called for your feet. I pulled that back, and I was reaching. I should have just gotten up, right? But, of course, I'm a man. Men, real men don't get up. I leaned down, and no joke, the whole thing fell on my head. Oh. You say, why? Can I ask you a question? Do you understand the Bible? You're not going anyplace until two things happen, and they happen at the same time. You say, what are they? You got to let go of some stuff. I showed a video. I have the video at home. Phenomenal video. Saw it on PBS. I bought it. Hard to watch, of a man's mother that was losing her mind. And she started packing all of her stuff in brown paper bags and wouldn't sleep all night. She would walk around the room all night long. And finally, he lived in some place in Chicago. I think she lived in Skokie. And the police would call him in the middle of the night and say, your mom is out in the middle of the street carrying brown paper bags. And in those brown paper bags would be her clothing.
Are you listening?
And the rotting. You say, why was she carrying it? Friends, you and I have to let go. But when forth not being religious, he says, I stretch out with all that I have to, I am doing everything I can. Are you? This week, worse than that happened. And my wife doesn't know it, but she will now. This week, I went into sin again. My wife made me a pumpkin pie. I look like I need a pumpkin pie. She made me a pumpkin pie, and I cut off little bitty pieces. And I went up to the same place. Oh, I forgot. I added one thing to it. I like a little whipped cream on my pumpkin pie. So I put about that much over the whole. You couldn't see the pumpkin pie. Went upstairs, had my water or tea, whatever I was drinking. Had my pumpkin pie. You shouldn't do this, but I'm a man. I got to read while I eat my pumpkin pie. So I had my book open, had my pen here, had my glasses on, had my mark. You know, I was all ready to go. And I was going to read and the over right on my lap with all of that cream. You didn't know why I put that sweatshirt in the laundry, did you? You say, why do you say that? What did you do with that pumpkin pie? I ate it. Hey, it tasted the same. Friends, I have a question for you. Are you stretching out? Here's Paul. Letting go, forgetting, stretching out everything I can. Job said this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor but his delight, it's what consumes, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, it transforms you, reaching out, delighting, being consumed. This is a process also. It is an ongoing process. No one likes to be uncomfortable. Look at me. Today, there will be people that have not read through the Bible in 50 years of salvation. Or 40, or 30. What are you expecting? When are you going to get around to it? Paul says, you understand this one thing I do. And by the way, he expects us to do the same. What is it? Letting go of the past, forgetting, and reaching forth. So friend, this is a process. It is an ongoing process. It is an ongoing process that only you can do for you. I can do for me. It includes the Bible. It includes meditation. It includes witnessing. It includes giving. It includes friendships. It includes passions that God puts in us, drives. It includes parenting. It includes marriage. I'll tell a dumb story. I shouldn't have to tell it. This would have been about 1983. A young man came to me while I was in Bible college. I didn't know him. I was older because I was 24. I'd already gone to college when I went back to college. So I was older, probably 27, 28. Young man comes to me and he says, Ralph, Mr. Reese told me to seek you out. He says, I have failed. There were three classes. He'd changed major so he didn't have to do Greek, which wasn't that much anyhow. There were three classes he had to take, and they were history classes. Look at me in the eyes. And you could not cram for them. Cassie, A and P. Try cramming for A and P. People that cram for A and P get crammed. Yes? Too much information. It was those kind of classes. The kind of class you took, there's only one way to pass the class. Every single night, you studied the information, and you knew everything because he asked you everything. The guy came to me and said, Mr. Reese said you did really well in his classes. He had three classes. I will tell you how well I did in the class. In one of the classes, I missed a question on one test. Mr. Reese stopped the entire class and addressed me personally. He said, Warren, you missed a question. But there was no secret. Here was the secret. Please look at me. Out every single day. That's how you grab a hold of things. You let go of some things and you grab a hold and you stretch out until you get it. By the way, watch. I have two problems. not today, but I got news for you. You put something, and Evan is just at the stage where whatever happens, Evan puts it in his mouth. So Jesse had a little game, set it on the couch. It has little circular things, and listen, it wasn't 5 seconds. We're all talking. I think Jesse went in the other room. Amy might have gone after Jesse, and old Jared looked over there, and there goes my lovely little Evan. He had one in his mouth. He put the second one in his mouth. He's going to swallow them all. Look at me. You get a little kid, and they'll do this. You get an old person, and I'll get around to that someday. I'm only 96. I'll read the Bible before I go to heaven, I guess. Well, this young man came to me. He said, Mr. Reese said, I could help him pass the class. So I just asked him a question. What do you do in the mornings? And he says, I come to school at 8 o'clock. I have my first classes at 9. He says, I get there at 8 o'clock, and I go down to the coffee place, and I drink coffee, I eat snacks, and I talk to people. And I said, do you want to pass? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you really want to pass? He said, yes, I do. I said, tomorrow morning, you go down there, you get your coffee, you get your snack, and you leave there and go to South Hallway, lower floor, where there are no people. There are pews there along the hallway. You sit there and you study every single day. He looked at me like, as if, will this help? What? What did you think was going to help? Showing up? Being special? I talked him into it. I said, I'll meet you. He came down. I met him for a few days. I'm glad to tell you this. He passed. I think he had taken one of the classes three times. How do you take the, they were so easy. I said, if you do this, you'll pass. He passed his first class with a B. The guy was so ecstatic when he brought the report card to me like I'm his dad. And all it took, look at me, all it took was this. Watch a little kid and watch an adult sitting down, doing nothing. One thing I do. Do you know, can I ask you something? Do you know Christ has grabbed a hold of you? Do you know that? Do you know he didn't grab a hold of you for you to sleep better? He grabbed a hold of you so you grab a hold of him and all that he has. Past, things which are behind, let them go. Forgetting, in some cases, forgiving. Present, reaching forth to those things which are before. Got to do it. Bible reading, prayer, meditation, church, service, grab it. Go after it. Well, there's one last statement, please. I want you to look, if you would, to verse 14. Here's the third thing. He says, this is how I do it. There's one thing I'm and that is Christ. How I come about this is I got to let go of some stuff. I've got to forget some stuff. There's things in the past that will hold me in the past. I've got to let go. I've got to reach forward. But in a Christian worldview, it's just not past and present. And it's not just exactly future. It's upward. You see, because we're not just looking to live as long as we can. By the way, Betty White just died. I don't know anything about Betty White other than she was an actress and she was old. Friend, she died 2 weeks short of her 100th birthday. Do you think that's life? For the Christian, that's wonderful. If you live to be 100 and everything's good, I'm happy. But friend, it isn't further down, further up. Past, present, up. I pray it says, verse 14, I press toward the mark. That press toward is exactly the same word that's found in chapter and verse 12, I follow after. It's dioko. I am pursuing with everything that is within me. I'm letting go. I'm reaching out. And I'm more junk. No. I am pressing forward. Pressing, following after. Letting go of those things that are behind. Reaching, grabbing hold of, and pressing forward. What does he say? I press toward the prize of the high calling, that upward calling. So we're no longer dealing with the past. We're not even dealing with the present. We're now dealing with the upward side to this. The high calling, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and this is ironic since you just, in verse 12, he's not perfect, but he's using it slightly differently. He's saying, let us therefore, as many as are mature, be what? Be what? So friend, he assumes that every single Christian is going to be exactly alike in the pursuit of Christ. So you say, what do I expect of you? Look at me. Regardless of your ethnicity, your background, your culture, your education, your money, God expects exactly the same for you as he did Paul and me. Christ apprehends us, and he apprehends us so we can apprehend him and all that he has. We must let go, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching for, stretching out for the things which are before, and pressing on to that high upward calling. We're moving forward. Ultimately, we're doing what we do to please him, because that is our final home. I've already been called to this. There is a goal. There is a mark. There is a prize. You say, what is the prize? The prize is Christ and all that we have in him. I'll conclude this morning with this. Before I do, can I ask you, what are you holding on to? Secondly, why in the world are you holding on to it? What are you doing that for? Why are you carrying those garbage bags around with you? And friends, if you have friends that carry garbage bags, don't you ever ask them the question, are you afraid you'll be on their bitterness list? This is normal conversation. If you're a Christian and they're a Christian, you talk about Christ and the scripture. Somewhere along the line. And I only have friends, by the way, that would speak to me. My close friends, I can name them, are all people that interact with me about that book. My closest friends. Kevin Bowder's one of them. Chuck Ells is one of them. You can listen to the conversations. This is, now, we talk about goofy stuff too. Forgetting, pressing, reaching forth, just reaching and then pressing on. I'll tell you a story and I'm done this morning. Was it 10 years ago, 12 years ago? I don't know. I was invited to go to the Bicol region in the Philippines, to specifically, gentlemen, the Mayon Volcano area, Albay, the province of Albay, Legazpi City. I went there the first time and they were meeting in some terrible location. The church had only been going a few years. A great pastor, Ulysses Fundano, his brother, which is Dennis, is down in Sorsogon, another province. Good guys. Went there over a few years, and I would meet. Look here. I would meet this. I would teach, and back in the left corner, there was a group of, I call them girls, but they really weren't girls, like 12. They would be college age or something like that. And there was 8 or 10 or 12 of them. I didn't know them. Every time I got close to them, Filipinas in the Philippines, a big white ugly guy, they get really nervous and shy. So they would always cover their face and laugh and, you know, that, you know, that's what they do. I didn't know any of them. One of them was the pastor's daughter, which you've met, and his wife. Good folks, but they've all grown up now. They were 18, 19, and now they're in their 20s up to 30. Well, I met one of the guys that was interested in one of the girls. His name was Earl. And her name, I don't know her name because she just laughs every time she sees me. She still laughs. And she's 8, 10 years ago, I said, Earl, when you guys get married? Is that an important thing? This is what he told me. He says, well, Pastor, some things have to happen before I get married. In America, we just get married. He said, well, first of all, I got to finish college. Good point. He said, second of all, I have to get a good job. He said, third point is, I have to build a house. Okay? And he says, and also, I don't remember her name. I usually call her sweet because she's so sweet. He said, my girlfriend has to finish college too because he's older than her. Now, are you listening to me? For 8 minimal years, I would see them every year in the Philippines. This last year, I didn't get to see them the last 2 years, but this last year, I got pictures. Now, he's not so good looking. He has a very pogey brother. He's kind of not so pogey. He's more like me. He wants to be pogey. I always tell him these things, even online, but hear me out, friend. Here's a beautiful thing. Here's the Christian life. You got to let go of some stuff. By the way, if you're getting married, you got to let go of the other women. There's always stuff you got to let go of. He was reaching forth, but what was he doing? He was reaching forth because he had a goal. And that goal was to finally to get that beautiful girl. Well, that beautiful girl, to him, and I guess he's pogey to her, I don't know. They finally got married after he graduated from college. He got a good job. He built a house. He even told me, I said, man, 2 or 3 years ago, I said, you guys have been dating for 5 years. When are you getting married? He says, I got to get my house built first. He graduated. He got a job. He built a house. She graduated. And guess what? Can I tell you what the Christian life is? Here it is. A lot of junk reaching forth. Prize is not a bigger house in heaven. Prize is Christ and all that he has for us. And my friend, that's our life. Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to press on? I mean, to reach out and reach forward to those things you must do now. And please, don't leave here this morning going back to sleep, doing the same thing you've done for the last 10 years. Nothing. Grab a hold of something. Because there's a prize to win. And friend, we're all headed that direction. Letting go of the past, the things behind, reaching for or stretching forth to the things which are before, and pressing on, pursuing the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Seal it to our hearts this morning. Why do we hold on to junk? Why are so many people maybe not holding on, but they're not stretching? There is absolutely nothing. They're preoccupied with silliness. Lord, we have been grabbed, and our whole goal in life is to grab hold of him and all that he is. Father, help us to do so this morning. Help us to press on, to chase the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because we not only have the past and the present, we have the upward movement. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.